Now we come to the fourth chapter here, and I want to get into this, and it's very brief. Actually, the fourth chapter is not in the Hebrew Bible, it's the fourth chapter. It's just the end of the third chapter. And so in the translations, this was made a chapter, only six verses, and I personally never really found out just why. Now you have in this fourth chapter the prediction of the day of the Lord and of the Son of Righteousness who ushered it in. Now this first verse is a vivid description of the great tribulation period. For behold, the day cometh. What is that? The day of the Lord. We've certainly been talking about that. That shall burn like an oven. All the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. In other words, consumed. We're going to see that in the book of Revelation. At one fell swoop, one-fourth of the population of the world will be wiped out. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Now, this hasn't anything in the world to do with this doctrine today that at death, death ends it all for the unsaved, that it's annihilation. Well, the Bible doesn't teach that. The body goes into the grave, lost and saved. And you go into eternity someplace, friend, your soul and spirit. Now, this doesn't teach that. It just teaches the fact that they are to be judged in the great tribulation and removed from the earth scene. Now he says, verse 2, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness rise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up like calves of the stall. And the Son of Righteousness in the Old Testament is the same person who is the bright and morning star in the New Testament, and Christ is never called the Son of Righteousness in the New Testament. And he's never called a bright morning star back in the Old Testament. And there's a reason for that. Verse 3, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. That is, when he comes to this earth to establish his kingdom, then the wicked will be put down. He will break them in pieces like a potter's vessel. That is the language of Scripture, and it's just too bad if you don't like it. Verse 4, remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and ordinances. Now Israel's going to move into a period in which heaven goes off the air. God will not be broadcasting. And there will appear another Zechariah 400 years later serving in the temple. Luke tells us about it when the angel Gabriel appears to him and announces the birth of John the Baptist. The silence of 400 years is broken. Now, in the meantime, they're to remember the law of Moses. That will be their light. That will be God's word for them. They were under the Mosaic system. Now, verse 5, behold, I'll send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. Now, there are two witnesses that appear in the last days. We'll see that in Revelation. Now, I'm almost sure that one of the witnesses is Elijah. And at the Passover feast in the Orthodox Jews' home, a chair is put at the table. No one sits in it. That's for Elijah who shall come. And when John the Baptist appeared, they thought he was Elijah, but John the Baptist was not Elijah in any sense of the word. And it does say he could have been, but he wasn't. That's the important thing. That's an iffy question. If Christ had established his kingdom, then John the Baptist would have been Elijah. You say, how could that be? I don't know, because it didn't happen that way. That's an iffy question. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. John the Baptist was not that because he was announcing the Messiah, the Savior of the world. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That's a little different than announcing the great and terrible day of the Lord that was coming. But I do not know who the second witness is, but I'll make some suggestions when we get to it in Revelation.